Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. I love it. He loves us so much. God really loves his people. You know, he loves us so much. I'm reminded of what Peter said, chapter 4. You know, God's justice is perfect. He's trying to keep us get us out of trouble and keep us out of trouble. If you're born in this world, you're born into you're born in sin, shaped in iniquity. Trouble is trouble. And the Lord's eyes on healing people as much as possible, as much as they will allow him to. Remember, this morning it was on my heart this way, that the revelation must be received. And the Lord is looking for people he can bless. And his love runs so deep. He's trying to get us out of the trouble we get ourselves into. I'm going to come back to 1 Peter chapter 4. But first, I want to clear something up. I want to start in 1 Samuel. Yesterday, at the end of yesterday's broadcast, I meant this when I was given the comparison of what the different types of tares, you know. Now, Jesus referred to people that he never knew. That's a type of a tear. And then the Laodicean church, they once had a relationship with him. And when the Lord taught me that years ago, I asked him what the difference was. See, way back in the 80s, I went to a church that taught that once saved, always saved. And that caused people to take sin lightly. And that's not true at all. The word says that your sin, when you ask for forgiveness, the sins that are past are forgiven. It's up to you not to do it again. Jesus told the woman that was caught in adultery to go and sin no more. And he meant it. Go and sin. You don't. Sin is a choice. It's always a choice. It has no power over you as a blood-washed Christian. You don't even want to sin. You have to be tempted into it and deceived into it and lured into it and enticed. Satan, he works overtime to do this. And some people still won't sin. They won't fall for his lies. And they have that ability as a Christian. You don't have to sin anymore. I remember when Chris Lucas told me, he said, Thurston, now that you're a Christian, you don't have to sin anymore. He went to a good godly church that taught the word as it is. He went to the Church of the Nazarene. I don't know much about their doctrine, but I tell you what, he blessed me. He told me some foundational truths that really helped. He's the first person that taught me about authority. And I thank God for that. It's been many years since we worked together. I still remember him because he was a blessing. And so, and his friend James also. James got saved first, a guy named James. They worked in produce. I worked on the floor and at the grocery store, food giant to help me. But when he explained it. You know, sometimes people need something explained to them. It's true in the word. You read over it, but when somebody explains it to you, then you see it. And anytime revelation comes, it's up to you to just receive it. You can receive or reject it. If you receive it, it can become part of your will. If you reject it, you'll have a hard time incorporating those kind of things in your will. And see, when your will is set, that's what you're going to do. Whatever's in your heart, that's what you're going to perform. But see, God gave us a new heart. It doesn't want to sin. But the mind and the soul and the body, it still wants to, it can still desire the wrong things. But when you receive the right revelation and have faith in it, you can choose and shape your will the way you want it to be. And I want it to be one with God's will. And I want it to want to be one with God's will. I want it to want to do the things of God. And I want it to continually hate. I want it to hate the things of Satan. And I want to make sure I hated the things of Satan. Because God gave us his best through Christ. And the least we can do is live in obedience. And I want to, I don't just want to live in obedience. I mean, I don't want to live in disobedience. I want to live in full obedience. And it's very important. Now, I have been talking about tares lately, and it came back to me that, you know, I brought up how the importance of the difference of, you know, the tares. Now, the reason I brought up the, when they used to teach once saved, always saved, I believed it because Jesus said, many will come to me saying, Lord, Lord, and he's going to say, I never knew you. Depart from me. You work iniquity. Even though they preached in his name and cast out devils and prophesied and worked miracles. So I said, well, they never got saved, and they didn't. But the Laodicean church became tares because they drifted. They allowed worldly things in their being. They allowed the leaven of the world to infiltrate them. And I gave the example of Demas. Now, in yesterday's broadcast at the end, in the bonus part, that's the first time I ever did a bonus. I closed out, but the extra part, I decided to just make it a bonus. Well, anyway, I talked about Demas, then I talked about Saul and Doeg. But instead of saying Doeg, I said Demas by mistake. So I wanted to clear that up as well. But I wanted to give you a picture of why. See, there are people in the church, they never got saved. They never had a relationship with the Lord. They never developed had a close relationship with the Lord at all. And they're the ones that's like Doeg. But they were around the Christians. They speak the same language. They read the same word. They preach the same doctrine. But their heart is not toward God. And their ways are not toward God either. And they may have a love for God, but they definitely have a love for the world. And they never knew him personally. And they work iniquity. Now, Doeg was with Saul, but he was an Edomite. Now, when Saul told his men to kill the priest, his own men wouldn't do it. But Doeg had no problem killing the priest. That's what I wanted to point out. But remember, so if you think that they're worse than the lukewarm church, Saul represents the lukewarm church. He gave the order to kill the priest and wouldn't stop. When his men wouldn't do it, he didn't say, well, maybe that's a bad idea. He was determined. Now, leaven, that's the power of leaven in a deadly heart. When people allow it, they become what sin is. That's why it's so deadly. The leaven of Satan, anything, any aspect of the world, if you allow it in your being, it's going to grow. And it's going to, you're going to have worldly appetites, worldly desires. You're going to think about worldly things. You're going to desire worldly things. It's going to appeal to you more and more. And as it does, your desires for the things of God will diminish. There's no outcome where this doesn't happen to people who get in leaven. I mean, there's no, it always happens that way. Unless they stop that process and fill their heart with the word of God and drive out the, it's just like the Israel had to drive out the Canaanites. He said, if you don't drive them out, they're going to be like thorns in your side and smoke in your eyes. Now, Joshua spelled it out for them. What else can you do? When people do choose the wrong way, a little bit of sin, they pet it. It grows. It grows. You know, a Saint Bernard makes a beautiful little puppy. But that dog is going to get big as you. You know, I love Shaq, the basketball player. But, you know, at one point he was an arm baby. Now, Shaq's a man made in God's image. And I love Shaq. But that, you see the example. The word can grow in you. And you become mighty like Shaq. Or sin will grow in you and it will consume you and you'll be like the devil. One out of two. You can be a mighty man, a woman of God, or you can be a devil. Who wants to be a devil? You know, people don't go to school and say, you know, I think I'm going to grow up and I'm going to get on drugs. I'm gonna wake up in the gutter. I'm gonna drink wine. I'm gonna lose my wife and children and my. They don't plan to do that. But in the back of the schoolyard, they meet with the dropouts and take a sip. That's why they end up in the gutter. They don't sit in school and say, "I guess I'm gonna be an adult and I'm gonna grow up and be depressed and I ain't gonna do nothing with my life, and then I'm gonna commit suicide." They don't dream that stuff up. It happens by making negative choices in the first place. I lived across the street from a drug house, and the drug dealers had a network. Now, the drug dealers, they would manage not to get on drugs, because if they did, they would die. They had access to them, and they'll take too much. They'll owe somebody money, then they'll get shot. So they handled it, and they made money, and they bought what, but they knew not to take it. And then they had one of them in the family will go out and get people to try the drug. She'd get a sample. She'd buy a sample, and then she'd go out and give people free drugs that was depressed and curious and just wanted to party. And then each one of them became her customers. And women would prostitute themselves for drugs. And then you'll see old men that would be with the young girls that was prostituting them, they'll get on drugs. You just see all this stuff just form. It was terrible. But all of them became slave addicts because they tried the drug in the first place. See, slavery, it never went anywhere. The spirit that was on the slave owners of old, those were demonic spirits that caused that to happen. They just got on drug dealers. Slavery is still here. It's just different. It's got a different way about it. Everybody that get on drug becomes a drug dealer's slave. And they'll do anything to get it. And the more they get into it, the worse it gets until they die. After a while, you stop seeing the people that walk around getting on. Something happened to them. When you stop seeing them, that means they're dead. Or they did something enough to go to jail. But when you never see them again, they died. So I know how the network works. And they sell drugs, and if one drug dealer sells drugs out of his territory, then that's where the gunfights start. Then the retaliation gunfights start. All right, let's get back on track. The darkness goes, it don't just stay a little bit. That's the point. That's why I brought all that misery up. All of Satan's ways is misery. If you are depressed, fill your heart with the word until you get greater concepts going. Learn the love of God. And you'll come out of it a whole lot faster if you learn his principles of love and love other people. Depressed people have such a hard time coming out of it. It's because they're living with it. And they're concerned about themselves. But when you start praying for other people and loving other people and seeking the Lord how to be a blessing to people, you'll heal up from the inside out every time. I promise you. But as long as people are looking at what's going on with me, the devil will keep magnifying the problem. But the end game, or the way to destroy depression is to fill your heart with the word and perform it. Do it. Do the word. Now, you have to do the word because that's reasonable. And the life of God is a healing process all by itself. When you go about doing good, you're healing, and also you become spiritually wealthy, and the Lord can reward you in every way possible. Your life won't be scattershot anymore. You have direction. That's why it's so important for the will to be for the will to be corrected in the ways of God. You got to choose God. God want to be chosen. He chose you. You choose him. And that's where I was. I said, Lord, I want to know that if I become a Christian, I'm going to do right. That's why I delayed so long. I wish I'd, the way to do that, not the way I did it, but run to him for help. Eventually I came to him. And I said, I was interested in Jesus. I was interested in his word to the point that I, every day on lunch, that's what I studied. And I wanted to, I enjoyed God. And that's very important. Now let's start with our dough egg. I wanted to clear this up first. We got a lot of territory today. And I hope I can do it in one broadcast, but all right, this is 1 Samuel 21. Now David's on the run from Saul. Saul wanted to kill him because he got compromised. He swallowed the hook, the bait and the hook. He was a devil now. Okay? He's coming, he was trying to kill David. Jonathan's test proved that Saul was out on the hunt for David. Okay, you know about that. I'll continue. Verse 1 says, and David came to Nob, and Ahimelech the priest, and Ahimelech was afraid at the meeting of David, and said unto him, why art thou alone, and no man with thee? And David said to Ahimelech the priest, the king has commanded me a business, and hath said unto me, let no man know anything of this business, whereabout I send thee, and what I have commanded thee. I have appointed my servants to such and such a place. Now, this is what David told Ahimelech, because Ahimelech was concerned. Now, therefore, but he didn't tell him the whole story, why he was on the run, what the business actually was. Verse 3 says, now, therefore, what is under thine hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread in mine hand, or what there is present. And the priest answered David and said, there is no common bread under mine hand, but there is hallowed bread, if the young men have kept themselves at least from women. And David answered the priest and said unto him, of a truth, women have been kept from us about these 3 days, since I came out, and the vessels of the young men are holy, and the bread is in a manner common. Yea, though it were sanctified this day in the vessel. So the priest gave him hallowed bread, for there was no bread there but the show bread, and it was taken from before the Lord, and put hot bread in the day when it was taken away. Now a certain man of the servants of Saul was there that day. Now watch this. Now a certain man of the servants of Saul was there that day, detained before the Lord in his name, and his name was Doeg, an Edomite, the chiefest of the herdmen that belonged to Saul. Now you see that? Now watch this. Now a certain man of the servants of Saul was there that day, detained before the Lord, and his name was Doeg, an Edomite, the chiefest of the herdmen that belonged to Saul. And David said unto Ahimelech, and is there not here under thine hand spear or sword? For I have neither brought my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business required haste. And the priest said, the sword of Goliath, the Philistine, whom thou slewest in the valley of Elah, behold, it is here wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If thou would take it, take it, for there is no other save that here. And David said, there is none like that. Give it to me. And he took it. Okay, now let's go on to chapter 22. See, David saw him. But watch what happens. Let's skip on down to verse 9. Okay. Let's go back to verse 8. Okay, Saul is on the hunt now. We start at verse 6. When Saul heard that David was discovered, and the men that were with him, now Saul abode in Gibeah under a tree in Ramah, having his spear in his hand. He's ready to kill David. And all his servants were standing about him. And Saul said unto his servants that stood about him, hear now, ye Benjamites, will the son of Jesse give every one of you fields and vineyards, and make you all captains of thousands and captains of hundreds? that all of you have conspired against me, and there is none that showeth me that my son has made a league with the son of Jesse. And there is none of you that is sorry for me, or showeth unto me that my son has stirred up my servant against me to lie in wait as at this day. See, Saul was kind of, he was upset. He's also an anointed king, and he thinks like a king. He knew that Jonathan helped David, because kings know things like that. When you think like a king, you can see greater, you can see a greater picture. And that's through all throughout the word where men were anointed to be king. All right. So now watch verse 9. Then answered Doeg the Edomite, which sat over the servants, which was set over the servants of Saul, and said, I saw the son of Jesse coming to Nob, to Ahimelech the son of Ahitub. And he inquired of the Lord for him, and gave him victuals, and gave him the sword of Goliath the Philistine. Then the king sent to call Ahimelech the priest, the son of Ahitub, and all his father's house, and the priests that were at Nob, and they came all of them to the king. And Saul said, Hear now, thou son of Ahitub. And he answered, Here am I, my lord. And Saul said unto him, Why have you conspired against me, thou and the son of Jesse, that in that thou givest him bread and a sword, and has inquired of God for him, that he should rise against me to lie in wait as at this day? Now, the devil is full of accusations. But watch what happened. Then Ahimelech answered the king and said, And who is so faithful among all thy servants as David, which is the king's son-in-law, and goeth at thy bidding, and is honorable in thine house? Did I then begin to inquire of God for him? Be it far from me. Let not the king impute anything unto his servant, nor to all the house of my father. For thy servant knew nothing of all this, less or more. He is innocent in every way possible. He didn't know about the discord. He didn't know about the escape. He didn't know. He thought that David was on business from the king. But, you know, Saul was so full of rage, he didn't listen. All right, verse 16. And the king said, Thou shalt surely die, Ahimelech, thou and all thy father's house. He was so blinded by his rage. This is the depth of what sin can do to a person. It started out with his pride and his power lust. But see what it turned into? Now he's about to kill a good priest. And the king said unto the footmen that stood about him, Turn and slay the priest of the Lord. Now, how does that sound? Just think about that for a minute. Turn and slay the priest of the Lord. If a person believes in their heart that they can play with sin and not become God's enemy, they're kidding themselves. Every one of them. This is what Saul turned into. The king said unto the footman that stood about him, Turn and slay the priest of the Lord. This is the epitome of what a Laodicean church member is like. They're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, naked. They have no agreement with God anymore. Okay, continue. Turn and slay the priest of the Lord, because their hand also is with David, and because they knew when he fled and did not show it to me, but the servants of the king would not put forth their hand to fall upon the priest of the Lord. Now watch this. And the king said to Doeg, Turn thou and fall upon the priest. And Doeg the Edomite turned and fell upon the priest, and slew on that day 80, that's 80, and 5 persons that did wear a linen ephod. 85 people died at the hands of Edomite. At the hands of Doeg the Edomite. Doeg is like they say that they love God. They say they're Christians, but they have no relationship at all. They never knew the Lord. They fell through the cracks some kind of way. They were around the Christians. They talked like Christians, but they never had a relationship themselves. Now, my dad was a pastor, but I feared God. I had somewhat of a fear of the Lord. I wanted to know that if I become a Christian, I'm going to do right. And I was curious about the world. And so when I was about 20 years old, almost 20 years old, That's when I got saved. But I took it seriously. Now, let's say I had a mind to compromise. I'll just get saved and then I'll just do what I want to do. You can't have a relationship that way. You have to be sincere. God expects it. You've got to be true to the Lord. Some people will go on and try it anyway. I've heard people give terrible advice, and they said they were Christians. All right. Watch this. And the king said to Doeg, turn and fall upon the priest. And Doeg the Edomite turned and fell upon the priest and slew on that day 85 persons that did wear a linen ephod. And Nob the city of priest smote he with the edge of the sword, both men and women, children, sucklings, little children, and oxen and asses and sheep with the edge of the sword. Man, this guy's acting just like an Amalekite. The Edomite. You know, Amalek was the son of Edom. And they had a vicious vendetta against Israel. But he killed not only 85 priests, but the city, the men, the women, and little babies, the oxen, asses, and sheep with the edge of the sword. That's what Saul was supposed to do to all of the Amalekites. But he spared Agag. And some of them got away. And they kept the livestock. See, and now the priests are dead, their wives are dead, the people around them are dead, and their children, and all the sheep and ox and asses. And one of the sons of Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub, named Abiathar, escaped and fled after David. And Abiathar showed David that Saul had slain the Lord's priest. And David said unto Abiathar, I knew it that day when I saw Doeg the Edomite was there, that he was sure to tell Saul, I have occasioned the death of all the persons of thy father's house. And David felt responsible. He said, abide thou with me, fear not, for he that seeketh my life seeketh thy life, but with me thou shalt be in safeguard. Because he knew the Lord was with him. I'm showing you the hearts of men. Remember something, the law of Ezekiel 18 applies, folks. If you were righteous all your life and turn wicked, you'll go to hell. You'll be cut off. You're out of the kingdom of God when you do that. That's not just the Old Testament law. This was by the prophets. This is within the law, but it's also relevant throughout time. If a wicked man is wicked, and then he comes to himself and turns from his wickedness, then all of his wickedness would not be remembered. It would not be mentioned. And he'll be a righteous man from that point on. So this is very important to understand. Let's look at Matthew 7. This is still relevant. All of this is relevant. But, you know, doctrines have taken a turn. A terrible turn. Because people who compromise, people who are tares. Tares teach. Tares preach. Jesus said, not everyone, listen, let me back up a little bit. He said, a good tree, verse 18. Verse 17. Even so, verse 16. All right, let's start at 15. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. This is true, folks. Jesus said this. You should know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes or thorns or figs or thistles? Even so, every good tree brings forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them, by their fruits. Satan's people bear evil fruit, and God's people bear kingdom fruit, good fruit. Now watch this. Very important, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. You see that? Some people are not doing the will of God because they have allowed sin in their heart. Verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have not we prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever they work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Now, I'm reminded about Henry Gruber. He was going to preach at a church. And then the people were singing the song. All the people were singing the song, Lord, let your glory come down. Now, remember, in the Holy of Holies, in the glory, if you're not right with God, you die. Right? They were singing, let the glory come down. And many of them were sincere, and all of them were singing it. And the Lord told Henry Gruber, he's on the podium, he said, tell him to stop. And he didn't see the reason to tell him to stop. He thought somebody with a microphone was making noise or something. And then the Lord said, tell them to stop. He said, Lord, is that you? He said, yes. They're calling for my glory. And if my glory come down, half of them would die. He said, are you going to tell them to stop? And he got the microphone. And he was going to gently tell them to stop. But it came out, stop it! And they stopped. And then he explained that if the glory came down, they would die. Because half of them were in sin. And they started repenting, and a revival broke out. The pastors had to go and pray for the people. He didn't even get a chance to preach. He found out years later that a revival broke out. And this is common. Now, he's in a church, and they're asking for the glory to come down. And then the Lord had to stop it because some of the people were not right with him yet.